The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Martin Luther King Jr. once said these powerful words: "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." I think these words are so true. We've been talking about the importance of prayer. Last week we started and we looked at how Jesus and the disciples, the apostles, were devoted to prayer. How the first church basically started with people gathering together in prayer. Prayer should be our foundation. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. It should be who we are. When we pray, it gets us alive. Alive in Christ. And so, last week, as we started the service, I asked you to raise your hand if you believe in the power of prayer. And almost every person raised their hand and said, "Yes, I believe in the power of prayer." And then I asked you to help me and to raise your hand if you think that you should be praying more than you are right now. And once again, I think most people raised their hand and said, "Yeah, I probably should be praying more than I am." And that's usually the case. Why don't we pray more? We need to be a church. We need to be individuals that are focused and devoted in prayer. A couple of months ago, I was at my great Uncle John's funeral. And at his funeral, my great grandmother's pastor came up to me and talked with me. And he said, "I want you to know something about your great grandmother. She was a prayer warrior." He said, "As a pastor, she was always that one person that whenever I needed prayer on something, or whenever the church needed prayer or people needed prayer, she was that person that I would always call, that I would always talk to, and I knew that she would always pray." He said, "I remember a story when your great-grandmother was fairly older in her life. She was sitting here in church, and I felt during that Sunday morning that God was calling me to have an altar call. And so I had an altar call, and no one came forward at first. And he said, for the first time, and he said, as a pastor, I don't really do this very often, but I felt God say, 'Give it again. There are people who need this.'" And so he said, "So once again, I asked for more time for the altar. And on my right-hand side, there comes your great-grandmother coming forward to the altar." And so he steps down and he kneels beside her and puts his hand over her and said, "Medelia, do you know why, or why did you come forward?" And she looked at him and she said, "I really have no idea why." And he looked over and saw that now the altars were full. And he looked back at her and he said, "I think we know why now." And she said, "Maybe we do." After that, it made me wonder, it made me think, What do I want my legacy to be? What do I want to be known for? I would love it were 10, 20, 30 years after I would die, that someone would come up to somebody else and say, yeah, I remember Paul Alf. That man loved Jesus, and he was a prayer warrior. I would love that to be my legacy. What is your legacy? What do you want to be known for? I can think of several people throughout my years of ministry. When I was at the church in Woodstock, there was an old retired pastor. And one thing that I could say, the biggest thing that I could say about him, and he was in his 90s when I was there, but he was a prayer warrior. He never stopped praying. He always prayed, and I knew that I could always go to him in prayer. So far in this first year that I've been here, there's one person that I feel like I'm always drawn to if I ever need time of prayer, if you will. And that's Velva Burkett. I love going over to her house. It makes me think I need to go back over her and visit her. I haven't been there for probably a month or so. And just to talk with her, to pray with her. Velva, Linda's mom, is a prayer warrior. When I go over there, I am always left in tears because of her praying for me and for this church. She's over 100 years old. What is she, 101, 102, something like that? 101? She's over 100 years old, but man, she prays for this church, and I know she prays for me, and she prays for you guys every day. I look at her and I said, that's what I want to be. I want to be someone in my life that people are drawn to, that people can go to say, I just need someone to talk to, and I know that you will pray for me. What is your legacy? What do you want your legacy to be? On this Father's Day, many of us dads, many of us men think that often. We're built that way, if you will. We're built in a way to think about what we want our legacy to be. For many men in this world, a lot of times their legacy is built around careers or business. And that's not bad. But if that's all your legacy is, it's probably not going to go too far. I want my legacy to be on prayer. I want my legacy to be built around Jesus. The Bible is full of people that have a legacy of prayer. I'm just going to highlight a couple. But we could spend here all morning talking about people that have a legacy of prayer. First of all, Moses. Moses was known for being a man of prayer, constantly hearing God speak and always doing it. We think about the burning bush. where during that time, he was on the mountain, basically spending this time in prayer with his Father. And when God spoke to him through a burning bush, he went and he did. He freed the Israelites. And then later on, we have the Ten Commandments, because why? Oh, Moses once again was on a mountain praying, and God spoke Ten Commandments to him that he wrote down to give to his people, to give to us. David was known for his prayer life. Psalm 55:17 said he would pray morning, noon, and night. He was so known for his prayer life, where the biggest or the longest book of the Bible is written because of his prayers. They're filled with his prayers that he put into songs. If you want to read more about David's prayer life, read throughout Psalm, because his prayer life is written for us. David was a man that prayed. I also thought of Daniel, someone who was so known for his prayer life that when a couple of people they were jealous of Daniel, they wanted to get rid of Daniel, they thought up a plan. And they went to a king and tried to manipulate the king to start this decree, to start this law of saying, if anyone prays to anyone else but to me, they will be thrown in the lion's den. These people were jealous of Daniel. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. And they knew that Daniel was so devoted to his prayer life that he would never stop. And so we see in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel has a legacy of prayer. He never stopped praying, even when the king himself said, you stop or you will die. He wouldn't stop. Why? Because this was in his DNA. This is who he was. He was a man devoted to prayer. I would love to be someone like Daniel. Or how about Anna? Or Anna. Anna is someone who's not actually mentioned all that much in the Bible. Many people don't even know her. Anna is this lady who was in the temple right after Jesus was born. Do you remember her? In Luke chapter 2, right after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. And then it says there, Luke chapter 2, verse 37, it tells you a little bit about Anna. It says, she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. This was a woman who was devoted to prayer. She constantly wanted to pray and to be with her Father. And so she was constantly in the temple. She was constantly praying. She was never giving up. Oh, to have a legacy of prayer like these people. What is your legacy? What do you want to be known for? And as we talked about last week, there's no better legacy than Jesus himself, who often, most times in his in his ministry, he went off by himself on a mountain to pray, even to a point when the disciples said, "Oh, does anyone know where Jesus is?" "Oh, yeah, we know where he's at. He's in the mountain again praying." They knew that they could always find him there. And Jesus left his legacy onto his disciples, who then in Acts, as we talked about last week, continued that legacy and was devoted to prayer as they started that first church. Jesus is our example of prayer. Andrew Murray wrote this about Christ's life. Christ's life and work, his suffering and death, were founded on prayer, total dependence upon God the Father, trust in God, receiving from God, and surrendering to God. Your redemption is brought into being by prayer and intercession. The life he lived for you and the life he lives in you is a life that delights to wait on God and receive from him. To pray in his name is to pray as he prayed. Christ is our example because he is our head, our savior, and our life. In virtue of his deity and of his spirit, he can live in us. We can pray in his name because we abide in him and he abides in us. Jesus is our example. If Jesus himself knew the importance and knew that he needed to pray, doesn't that mean even more to us that we need to do that? So why don't we pray as much? Why is it that we raise our hand and say, "Yes, I think I need to pray more"? What's holding you back? What's holding us back? As we talked about last week and we'll continue to talk about, we will only go as far spiritually as our prayer life will take us. You will only go as far spiritually as your prayer life will take you. The more we pray, the closer we get to God, our Father. The more we get to know him, the more we grow. Today is Father's Day. To you fathers out there, what legacy are you leaving to your kids and to your generations to come? I don't know about you, but as a father, I think about this often. Sometimes I have to confess, I think about the bad legacy that I might be leaving. The mistakes that I might be making. That the decisions and the things that I do and say today as my kids are growing up might shape and form them to tomorrow. And I think about, as a dad, I know I'm not perfect. But what if the number one thing that they could think of when they think of their dad is a man that would hug and love and pray for them constantly? That's the father I want to be known for. I think I still have a ways to go. But I think, just like all of us, I'm working on it. Fathers, what are you known for? What is your legacy? May we be men that are known for our devotion to prayer. Pray for your kids. Pray with your kids. Pray for your spouse. Pray with your spouse. Pray for your grandkids and with your grandkids. and watch of how generations will be impacted by the decisions that you make today. Be fathers that love Jesus with all your heart. Be fathers that are devoted to prayer and be fathers that love deeply. Allow that to be your legacy. I have a plaque in my office. It's a little plaque, but it helps to remind me. The plaque says, "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." I want to be that father. I don't want to be the father that just always demands of how the other person or how my kids should live. I want to live it out so they can see it with their own eyes, including prayer. We can be praying more. I have to confess, there are even times we pray with our kids every day, every meal. We sit around the table and we pray with them. And I have to confess, there are some evenings where I almost just kind of want to, I'm kind of done with the day, if you will. I'm ready for the kids to go to bed so I can have my own time. And there are some evenings where I just try to rush through the prayer because I have one thing on my mind. Oh, I just want my own time. That's not being a father with the legacy of prayer. There are other times where the prayer life or the prayer with our kids are so good and so powerful. Where there are times where my kids teach me what it means to pray. Where my kids are teaching me what it means to not just pray, but to pray in faith. That my kids are teaching me what it means to listen to our Father. One day, not too long ago, I think it was about 6 months ago or so, probably shouldn't say the name of the kid. Oh, I want to. But one of my kids came up to Tiffany and said, he was crying. And Tiffany said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I'm thinking about Grandpa and how he's hurt. He was hurt at the time." And Tiffany said, "Well, you know, if you pray, God's going to hear your prayers." And so probably 10 minutes later, I think she was trying to get herself ready or something. 10 minutes later, they went in the living room or went into something, and Tiffany was talking to another kid, and this child said, "Keep it down, quiet." She said, "What?" He said, "I'm praying, and I'm listening to God." "Well, what is he saying?" "He's speaking to me, but that's between him and I. I can't tell you." So I come home from work. Tiffany told me this. I talked to him and I said, "So I heard that you were praying." "Oh, I love that. I love hearing that." And he said, "Yeah, God even spoke to me." "Really?" And I knew he didn't tell Tiffany. So I'm like, I wonder if he'll tell me. Well, what did God say? Well, that's between him and I. Well, you know, sometimes when God speaks to me, there are times when I keep it to myself, but there are other times when I need to share it with other people. And then he said, well, I guess since you're my pastor, I can tell you. What? Okay. And he said, yeah, God, I was praying for Grandpa, and God spoke to me, and he said, I will heal your grandpa by Christmas. And he said, I don't have anything to worry about now because he's going to heal him. Oh, for us to have that prayer of faith where we can come before God and cry out to him and hear him, hear from him. And when he speaks, that we have all the confidence in the world that he's going to do it. I guess there's meaning to when it says, faith like a child, right? There is a prayer in the Bible from the Apostle Paul. What a great name. The Apostle Paul prayed this prayer over the church and city in Ephesus. And this prayer has been on my heart throughout this whole week as I've been diving into it. And as we close, I just want to close us in this prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, if you have your Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. As we close this service, we're going to read this prayer together. A powerful prayer. I encourage you. Let us as a church dive into this prayer and be praying this prayer every day this week. I encourage you in your prayer time, come back to this. Open up Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 and be praying through this prayer. Allow this prayer to digest in you. Chew it up. Here's the prayer of Paul to his church. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That is so powerful right there, that I want you to know that every family derives in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Oh, I love that. We have to stop there. Oh, I love this. Being rooted and established in love. Oh, if we can just be people that our foundation, our roots, everything about us is established in the love of Jesus. Oh, if we can just be a church, if we can just be people that know what it means to love deeply, to love one another. If we can understand, try to understand, but if we can be a church and people that know that we are dearly and deeply loved by our Father. This is our foundation. It is our roots. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, which means we can't comprehend it. His love is so great. He loves you so much that you physically cannot, mentally cannot comprehend His love for you. We can't understand it. We can't get it. It's that great. He loves you that much. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We can imagine a lot of things, can't we? When we come to God, when we look at the things on this earth, guess what? He can do immeasurably, which means you can't measure it. You can't put a thing to it. He is bigger than anything that we can think of. You look at something and say, that's never going to happen. Guess what? It can with God. He can answer any prayer. He can do anything. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is our prayer. This is my prayer to you. I encourage you to wrap yourself around this prayer every day this week. Be devoted to this. Understand it. Chew it up. Digest it. This is God's prayer for us. Oh, to be a church that is devoted to prayer. Oh, to have a legacy that lives on and on and on to all generations. The legacy that we are people who love deeply and who pray constantly. That's who I want to be. I'm not perfect. None of us are. But that's who I want to strive to be. Let's be people that have a legacy of prayer. Do we have a video in back? Do we have that all set up? There is a movie that came out several years ago. In this movie, it had a powerful ending. This movie is called War Room. It has an ending of a lady praying for the nation, praying for people to be devoted to prayer. We're going to end with watching this video, this clip from War Room. Take a look.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle, that we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
I think about my great-grandmother and hearing the legacy that she had of being a prayer warrior. And as I was at my great Uncle John's funeral, her son, and the Uncle John that I knew was a man who prayed for me and my family every day. I see that legacy. That legacy that started with my great-grandmother and was passed on to her child and was passed on to me. And I pray that I can pass it on to the generations after me. Let's be people that start a legacy of prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, raise us up, Lord, to be people, men and women, that are devoted in prayer to you, that leave a legacy that will impact generations and generations to come. We love you so much. Thank you for being a God that always listens to us. May we be your children that will always call upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last song, will you stand with us?